6740. As soon as you can, you should call and ask the hotline volunteer for help, because they're going to tell you the best place to go with that turtle to get it aid. So we have members all over the North Country area. We go from south of Albany all the way up into the Adirondacks, so we can always find someone.
Why do they go in the road in the first place?
That's another really good question. So the female turtles, when it's nesting season, which is happening now, it usually starts mid-May and goes until about the 4th of July, the female turtles will come out of the water and they will walk until they find a really good spot to lay their eggs. And sometimes they go pretty far. They might go a quarter of a mile or half a mile from the water. And they know where they want to go, and we keep putting roads in their way. So they'll go across. They want to find places where they know their nests won't get flooded, and that where they'll be warm enough and where it's easy enough to dig. So a lot of times they'll come out and they'll go to the side of the road and find that nice gravel on the side of the road, and they'll dig in there. So that's why you see a lot of snapping turtles right on the side of the road, like digging their nests. And you can tell if they're digging their nest because they use their back legs, and they'll just sit in one spot and they'll use their back legs to dig a big hole, and then they'll lay their eggs, and then they'll use their back legs to fill it all in again. And it can take a few hours. So if you ever see a turtle that is in a safe place and is just kind of sitting there, that's probably what's going on.
How many turtles do you think you've helped so far?
Probably about 80.
If I would get a pet turtle, how would I take care of it?
Turtles are not too hard to take care of if you get them housed really well. So they're going to need a big tank, bigger than you think, because they grow bigger than you know, when you get them in the pet store, they're still pretty young. They'll need that water warm, so they have to have a heater in their tank. They need a place to bask, so either a floating dock or some kind of setup, something that they can climb out onto to get out of the water. They're going to need lights, both heat and UVB, and they're going to need a filter. And then once that's set up pretty well, it's just some basic tank maintenance and feeding them.
How many pet turtles do you have? What are their names and what are their types?
Ooh, well, I also rescue pet turtles, so I think I have 16 right now. most of them are red-eared sliders, which are the kind of turtle that you see in pet stores most often. And a couple of them have actually been wandering around in the wild, and we've had to rescue them out of the wild because sometimes people let them go, and it's really not a good thing to do that. They're very invasive. They're very detrimental to our native turtles. So that's why I take them in. So my very first turtle is a red-eared slider, and her name is Charlie. And she was named after the road that I live on, not for any other particular reason that she's named Charlie. I also have Cooter, Grace, and Frankie, and Jimmy, and Oscar, Patty, Tina, Delilah, and my first one that came out of the wild, her name is Big Mama. And then I have another one that just came in who I haven't named yet. And then I also have three educational ambassador turtles. I have a snapping turtle named Gordon, and a painted turtle named Misty, and a northern map turtle named Decla.
Thanks for your time, Debbie.
Thank you so much, Tilda. It was great to meet you.
This is Matilda Rinkertet reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC, ACRA, Hudson, Catskill.
On Saturday, July 22nd, turn out or tune in to Wave Farm for a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium. Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium will be the 13th installation at Wave Farm's Art Park. And on Saturday, July 22nd, it'll be inaugurated from noon to 6 p.m. with a day of percussionist performances. Those percussionists include Lisa Stoneberg and Leah Bowden, Zuki Legba and special guests, Chris Corsano and Bobby Previtt. And Saturday, July 22nd's performances are part of Upstate Art Weekend, which is at Wave Farm and many other locations. Tune in or turn out to a day of percussion at the Marimba Tree in celebration of Charles Staub's Churl Proscenium, Saturday, July 22nd from noon to 6 p.m. in the Wave Farm Art Park in Accra.
Wave Farm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wave Farm and WGXC operate and broadcast. The Mohicans name themselves the people of the waters that are never still following their arrival along the Great Ebb Tide River, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations and in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For more information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge-Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit mohican.com.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM. Accra, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond! Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Georgia, and I'm from beyond!
I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
And we're here every week to talk about books.
Books we love.
Books we hate.
And bookish.
And bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today.
Bye.
Because why not? Why would we do anything else?
I don't know, Emily. I truly don't.
We're often joined by our friends Claire and Fatia, and sometimes Amelia, and sometimes some other friends. But today, it's the Georgia and Emily show.
Oh, nostalgia. Fifth grade.
Oh, nostalgia. Not fifth grade for me.
Well, of early 2022, because a lot of times it's just me and you back then.
True, true.
Okay, so who's going to get started sharing today?
I could talk about a book. I have a handful of books to talk about, but mostly two. Well, mostly one in a series. Although I guess both are series. So the first book I wanted to mention is a graphic novel. It's probably a middle grade graphic novel. I think it would be good for teens too. And it is called Mammo by Sass Millage. And it just recently won a Lambda Literary Award for LGBTQ plus comics. So that's exciting. And so I got that off of their list. I also want to note that the LGBTQ plus young adult winner was The Lesbiana's Guide to Catholic School by Sonora Reyes, which I loved and talked about previously on this show. So I'm excited about that. And I haven't read the middle grade winner yet, which was Nikhil Out Loud by Malik Pancholi. I'll have to check that one out. So Mammo by Sass Millage won the comic award, and it is a graphic novel. It seems like, I didn't look it up, so I'm not sure if it's an ongoing series, but I assume it is. But this, the volume that I read collects Mammo number 1 to 5. I assume there'll be more coming, and if not in a volume form, at least in an issue form. But it's the story of two young people, one who is named Orla O'Reilly, and they're the youngest in a long line of hedge witches. And they come home after the death of their grandmother, Mammo. And after their grandmother died, all this stuff is going wrong. So the seas are impossible to fish, issues with crops. There's a poltergeist living in somebody's attic. And Orla and a character named Joe, who has the poltergeist in their attic, who is making their mother ill, Orla really discovers that it is due to the fact that her grandmother's bones were mislaid all over town. And so everything's going a little wonky. And so Orla and Joe go on an adventure to gather all of the bones and bury them properly so that things can move forward in a normal fashion in this area. So it's about their adventure, it's about their friendship, and it's a great start to a series. I'm excited to see what happens next. It, like, the first 5 issues that are compiled in this book, it ends in a way that, like, makes sense. Like, if you think about it like how television series work, where, you know, it ends and it's kind of wrapped up, but you can see how it could keep going from there. It's very much like that. Or a book in a trilogy, like you read a book and it has some closure at the end, where it could be just the ending, but there's still more to explore. So I definitely would check out more of that and think people would enjoy this book quite a bit. I love the artwork. It's really pretty. I wish I had it to show you, Georgia, but our radio listeners wouldn't be able to see it anyway, so it wouldn't really be fair. But yeah, there's a cool cat in it too. Orla has a really cool cat.
That sounds like a great book. And could you repeat the title?
I actually don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but I read it as Mammo or Mammo. It's M-A-M-O. And it's by Sass Millage, which I guess I might not be pronouncing their name right either, but very cool book.
That sounds like a great book.
Yeah, I think you'd like it.
Yeah, it sounds definitely right up my alley. The other one too, do you think that'd be suitable for middle grade readers? Or
The Lesbiana's Guide to... I don't remember. Probably. I don't remember. I wasn't reading it thinking, is this okay for middle grade? So I'm not sure.
I'll just read it anyways.
It's a really good book, though. And I know you have skills. You know how to read a book and put it down if need be.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that was my main book to share today. Do you want me to share my other one, or do you want to share a book first?
I'll go.
Okay, you go.
Okay. And the book I'm going to be sharing today is called The Queens of New York by E.L. Shen. And I just read this, and this is a young adult novel. And I'd say this is probably... It's definitely suitable for middle grade, though. Just the characters are young adult. But this might be my favorite book, or at least one of my favorites. It's so, so, so good. Va is basically 3 best friends that live in Queens, kind of embarking on 3 different experiences and adventures and dealing with, like, adversity, heartbreak, hope. And it's really good. I think it's kind of a coming of age about finding your path a little bit. So I'm going to read the description. Gia Lee, Ariel Kim, and Everett Huang have been best friends since their parents took them to Flushing, Queens, Lunar New York Festival, when they were 7 years old. Now 17, they're inseparable. The only thing is, they won't be together this summer. Everett, aspiring Broadway star, hopes to nab the lead role in an Ohio theater production, but soon realizes that talent and drive can only get her so far. Brainy Ariel's flying to San Francisco for a prestigious STEM scholarship, even though her heart is in South Korea, where her sister died last year. And Gia, stable, solid Gia, will be home in Flushing, juggling her parents' Chinatown restaurant, a cute new neighbor, and dreams for an uncertain future. As the girls navigate heartbreaking surprises and shocking self-discoveries, they lean on each other and realize that even though they're physically apart, they are still mighty together. From acclaimed author E.L. Shen comes a sun-drenched cinematic story about three Asian American girls, their unbreakable bond, and one life-changing summer. And that was The Queens of New York by E.L. Shen. And I'd say middle grade and young adult could enjoy that. I feel like adults could even enjoy it. And I'd give it a 16 out of 10. It's so, so good. So yeah, definitely, definitely would recommend for anyone.
Just a 16 out of 10.
Yeah, just a little.
I actually hadn't heard of that book. It sounds really good. And I see that it's a new release. It just came out this month. I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it either, but my mom went to a bookstore and just picked it up for me, and it was so good.
For the writing of the story, do they like switch between characters, or does it?
Yeah,
how does that work?
I forgot to say that. Usually, every other chapter is a different. Every chapter is a different character.
Is it from their point of view, or is it like an omniscient narrator that's telling you their story?
Their point of view. It's really good.
I like when stories do that.
Me too.
Did you have a character that you either connected with the most or like enjoyed reading the most?
I really enjoyed them all. Usually I have a favorite too, but I really enjoyed them all. But I guess maybe, actually it's hard. Maybe.
It's okay if you don't.
I don't know. It's kind of a tie between Ariel and Everett.
Poor Gia. Just kidding.
Yeah, but it's... I guess maybe I liked Ariel the most. At first, I liked Everett the most, but then Ariel's becomes kind of more, like, adventurous as the book goes on. So do you have another book you'd like to share?
I do. I have a series that I've read three of the books. I think there's six of them. So there is a series of books called The Disgusting Critters series by Elise Gravel, who we've talked about on the show before. I think I've talked about some books, and I think Claire talked about Arlo and Pip. And yeah, I think the book I talked about on the show a long time ago is called The Mushroom Club, which I really liked. But Elise Gravel, whose name I might be butchering, does a lot of cartoony, they're not necessarily, some of them are graphic novels, some of them are picture books. I would say these are informational nonfiction easy readers that are also fun and goofy and use elements of comics. So they have like little speech bubbles and stuff like that. But the series is called the Disgusting Critter series, and it has creatures who are arguably disgusting. Not everybody will think that they are disgusting. Oh, and there are more than six, because I'm seeing six pictured here, but I know that there's at least another one. So there is the worm, the slug, the spider, the fly, the rat, head lice, and I read the bat as well. And so each one is a short little thing that talks about, gives you different facts about the animal. And there's always like a character of that animal that's sort of commenting on what is being said. So I read the worm, the bat, and the head lice. And I read those three in part because those are the three that our library system has in Spanish. And I wanted to read them in Spanish because I'm trying to practice my Spanish language skills. And I love kids' books. And it's also an easy way to learn some Spanish but it's a fun way to like learn some new vocabulary and have some fun reading where you're not having to dive into like a longer narrative. And with the pictures, you can get some clues as to what the words mean without having to look them up. So that's fun. But so I read The Worm, which is El Gusano, The Bat, which was El Murciélago, and Head Lice, which was El Pujio, I think. And some examples of how the characters interact. The worm at one point somebody's referring to something about their body as being pretty disgusting. And the worm is kind of like, hey, who are you calling disgusting? I'm not disgusting. And then a few pages later, they're talking about how in some places people eat worms. And the worm is like, but I'm so disgusting. Why would you want to eat me? I thought that was funny. But then there's other fun things where like the head lice, one of their like super skills is that they can travel like Tarzan through your hair. I don't remember if there, I don't, maybe the bat isn't in the, maybe it's in a different animal series, because I don't think anything the bat did was that disgusting. I don't know. Maybe that was just another animal book, but it looked exactly the same as the others. So I think it is in that series. But the bat superpower, or one of their superpowers, is that they can sleep upside down, of course. And they're the only mammal that can fly. But I'd like to read the other ones in Spanish, but the library system doesn't have them yet. So
oh, that's too bad.
I might have to make a little donation, make it happen, get some more books. I need to learn about el ratón.
Oh, totally.
It's muy importante. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought they were really fun. I mean, obviously, I learned some words that I will probably never have to use in my life and have already forgotten, because they're very specific to like the parts of a body of a worm or something. But it's still very fun to read in Espanol. But yeah, so that's the Disgusting Critter series. I'm sure it's great in English too, but
yeah.
Very fun.
I used to be good at Spanish because I've been taking Spanish lessons in school since I was 3. But I kind of stopped this year, which is the worst possible timing, because there's this new girl. She's been at my school for about a month. We're friends, but I wish I could communicate with her more because she doesn't speak very much English. Mm-hmm. She doesn't really know that much. I mean, she's learned a lot since she's came. But when she came, she couldn't speak like any except for hi. So it'd be really nice to get my Spanish back so I could communicate with her more.
Well, there's always time. Well, there isn't always time, but it's never too late to start learning a language.
Yes.
That doesn't mean you always have the time to do it, but I've been trying to do a little bit of language practice every day. So I usually do some in the morning and some at night.
Yeah. Next year, though, there's a language option at my school, because in my old schools it was mandatory, but here you can't do it until 7th or 8th grade. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I think we started in 5th or 6th. I can't remember when I started. Yeah.
At my old school, some of them started sooner or later, but I started in preschool. So, yeah.
It's good to learn languages that you can communicate with people.
Definitely. And I feel like in middle school and high school, I feel like it'll be more effective than in elementary, because instead of having it 2 or 3 times a week, we're going to have it every day.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yay.
Sounds like a great book.
Which one?
The ones you shared.
All of them. What do you think is the most disgusting critter?
Most disgusting?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you don't value anything about them.
A head louse.
The head lice, yeah. They're pretty gross. I had head lice once in my life.
Same.
As an adult, when I was traveling, I think I got them from a hotel I was staying at. And my head was so itchy that I just knew.
I thought I just had a really dry scalp, but that made no sense because at the time and still now, I had like really oily hair. So I used dry hair shampoo, which made my hair even oilier, which like kind of ruined my hair. It took me at the time, like it was like 2 or 3 months to get my hair back to normal. But turns out it was lice.
No fun.
Nope.
Yeah, I was traveling and I was in a foreign country. So I didn't know, I was studying abroad and I didn't know, you know, where to go get stuff for this because I'd never, wasn't familiar with pharmacies in that country and I'd never had head lice before and didn't know how I would even ask for. So I just asked the family I was staying with to help me get some shampoo. And they were like, here, let's check and make sure you have it first. They combed my hair and they showed me one. I was like,
what country were you in?
I was in India at the time.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. So I felt bad for the host family that because I had been away and then I came back with head lice into their home. It's like, sorry. But we got it handled fast, so.
That's good.
And I was able to read the book without too much pain, so there's that. They're not bad creatures. They apparently do some good, but I can't handle house centipedes. Oh, no, not head lice. I was talking about my disgusting creature of choice is the house centipede. I can't handle them if I see them. It's just too much. They have those really long, skinny, skinny legs. Too many legs.
Oh, I thought you meant most disgusting out of the ones you shared.
No, in life, I'm wondering what your most disgusting creature is.
Oh, that's hard.
So many options.
Yeah.
Like if you were going to write a book for the series, what would it be?
Let's see. Eels. Eels just creep me out. I have no idea why.
I think they're cool. I wouldn't want to swim by one, but
I have no idea why. They just creep me out so much. No idea why at all.
They've got funny, well, not maybe not all of them. Some of them look really cartoonish. Like sometimes I see video of eels and they remind me of like Muppets or something Jim Henson would do.
It's kind of odd because I have no like bad experience. I have no like scary experience with them. I just really don't like them.
Maybe someday you'll all connect and become friends and laugh.
They just
about
have
this.
Creepy little faces.
Well,
their faces are just kind of scary.
To any eels out there listening, I really apologize for George's comments.
Just kidding. I've never been scared of an animal except for eels.
Oh, I'm scared of a lot more creatures than that, but they're in terms of disgusting. Like I'm scared of bears, but I don't think they're disgusting. I think they're adorable.
Bears are so cute.
They're so cute, but they're terrifying.
We have one that lives on our road and he comes to our neighbor's house and our house and he's so cute.
Oh, thanks. I think they're cute from afar. I love watching them in videos and stuff, but I don't want one anywhere near me unless it's behind.
I guess. But most disgusting animal to me, probably snakes or like water snakes. I don't want to be swimming and then have a snake slither up to me. Be like, hello.
That happened to me once and it really ruined some outdoor water spaces for me. I'm like, no, thank you. I do not want to interact with you again.
Well, did he smile at you?
I didn't look that closely at the snake's face. Can snakes smile? That's a good question. I don't think they can smile. But what is a smile? Who knows in snake land?
A smile is a smile. What I love about smiling is in no matter what language or culture you're from, a smile is a smile. And even if you can't communicate in the same language like me and my friend, a smile or a hug is the same in almost every language. A smile, a hug, and art.
Art is grand, as are smiles and hugs. Well, before we head out for the day, is there anything else you wanted to share?
No.
No.
happy Pride Month, guys.
Oh, yeah, we still have another week left at least.
This is my last week of school. See you
summer.
Next time for vacation.
Happy summer.
Woo-woo.
Do you have big plans for summer? Do anything fun?
Lots of art camps. And then I'm going to a week of sleepaway camp.
Oh, fun.
And then we're going to Maine.
Nice.
How about you?
I have a couple little trips, mostly to see family. Actually, all of my trips are to see family, but I'll also do other stuff while I'm visiting. And then we have a lot of cool programs at the library. So that'll be fun. And I'm excited for my garden and watching things grow, helping things grow, reading some books while I'm doing that, listening to some audiobooks while I garden.
That sounds fun. The classic Emily activity.
Classic. I get so much good reading done while gardening.
Technically, that's not like reading, but okay.
It is reading. Audiobooks count.
Yeah, but that's hearing books, not reading them.
I think it counts.
It counts, but you're not physically reading.
I don't know. I still count it as reading. I don't think you have to use your eyes to read. I think you can use whatever sense. Like if you're reading Braille, you're using your fingers. If you're listening to an audiobook, using your ears.
I think
it counts.
I just mean when you're listening to an audiobook, you're
but
not
why
like...
shouldn't that count? Your ears are enjoying and like taking in the words. It's just a different form of reading, in my opinion. Just think of
I guess.
It.
Yeah, you can just you don't have to like...
Can you read by sense of smell? That is the question.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Oh, you can read whether your tuna sandwich that you left in your knapsack accidentally for a month after your dance performance is moldy, which I figured out yesterday.
Gross.
Yeah, it was red. It was red and green and blue.
No fun. Sounds like a good reading activity for your nose.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah. But I do get a lot of reading/listening to audiobooks done in the garden. And I feel like I retain the books in a way that's like, and enjoy the books in a way that's maybe deeper than when I read the page.
Pow, pow, pow.
So there's that. Try it out. Your garden and your brain will thank you.
So if you don't listen to audiobooks,